I hope you, thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Jared speaking about Atria. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The National Assembly Speaker has today rejected a move for a regime change that has been planned from abroad under a conspiracy against 220 million people. There was a foreign agenda behind it. Today, the Speaker has rejected the no-confidence move.
Pakistan is facing a constitutional crisis after Prime Minister Imran Khan dissolved the National Assembly and called for new elections in an effort to block an attempt by opposition lawmakers to remove him. Pakistan's Supreme Court is now hearing a case that could decide if Khan remains in power. We'll go to Islamabad for the latest, then to El Salvador, where the government has arrested over 6,000 people since a 30-day state of emergency was imposed following a wave of violence.
If you are in the poorer neighborhoods, in the lower-income communities, there's a lot changing, like military checkpoints and police, and some 6,000 arrests. And while the government is saying all of them are gang members, the reality is there's a lot of people who are claiming that they are protesting for people who are not related to gangs.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Russia faces growing global outrage as mounting documentary evidence reveals war crimes committed by Russian troops in Ukraine. On Monday, Ukrainian officials said the mayor of the town of Multijin, near the capital Kyiv, was tortured and summarily executed by Russian soldiers, along with her husband and son. Local residents said the victims' bodies were discovered bound and blindfolded in a pit. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is addressing the United Nations Security Council today as members review allegations that Russian troops intentionally murdered civilians in the town of Bucha, northwest of Kyiv.
For now, only in Bucha it is known that there have been more than 300 people killed and tortured. The number of casualties will probably be much higher when the entire town is checked. And this is only one town, one of many Ukrainian communities which the Russian forces managed to capture.
That was Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who is addressing the UN Security Council today. Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials said images out of Bucha showing Russian atrocities could be just the tip of the iceberg. Meanwhile, Kremlin officials have rejected accusations that Russian soldiers killed civilians in northern Ukraine, saying images of graves and corpses had been manufactured in order to smear Russia. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Monday U.S. leaders should examine their own consciences before accusing Russian President Vladimir Putin of war crimes.
First of all, what about those many American politicians who originated the Iraq War using well-known pretexts, who also ruined Libya together with NATO partners, who invaded Syria? Not all is well with the conscience of those politicians.
Lavrov's comments came as diplomatic ties between Russia and NATO members continued to deteriorate. German officials Monday declared 40 Russian diplomats undesirable persons, effectively expelling them from Germany. France announced a similar move targeting 35 Russian diplomats. Meanwhile, the United States is seeking to have Russia removed from the UN Human Rights Council. On Monday, President Biden promised to impose additional sanctions on Russia as he doubled down on his previous statement calling Vladimir Putin a war criminal.
He is a war criminal, but we have to gather the information. We have to continue to provide Ukraine with the weapons they need to continue the fight, and we have to gather all the detail so this can be have a war crime trial. This guy is brutal, and what's happening in Bucha is outrageous, and everyone's seen it.
Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, said Monday the U.S. may help build a war crimes case against Putin at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Like Russia and Ukraine, the United States has not ratified the Rome Statute, which created the International Criminal Court. The United Nations warned Monday humanity has less than 3 years to slash greenhouse gas emissions nearly in half in order to prevent the most catastrophic effects of the climate crisis. In a major new report, scientists with the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change found that without immediate and dramatic action, it will be impossible to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the report documented a litany of broken climate promises by nations.
It is a file of shame, cataloging the empty pledges that put us firmly on track towards an unlivable world. We are on a fast track to climate disaster. Major cities underwater, unprecedented heat waves, terrifying storms, widespread water shortages, the extinction of a million species of plants and animals. And this is not fiction or exaggeration. It is what science tells us will result from our current energy policies.
The World Health Organization warned Monday 99% of the world's population breathes air that exceeds safe limits for air pollution, including fine particulates that can penetrate deep into the lungs. The WHO called on nations to slash fossil fuel use, saying the same pollution that's triggering the climate emergency is responsible for most of the 7 million premature deaths each year due to indoor and outdoor air pollution. In Brazil, hundreds of indigenous leaders arrived in the capital, Brasilia, Monday to begin a 10-day protest camp demanding lawmakers reject a bill that would allow more mining and oil extraction on indigenous lands. This is an indigenous Pataxó leader.
We are here together with other indigenous people to fight to defend our people and for equality among nations, to make it known that we, the indigenous people, were the first inhabitants of Brazil. And we are here to show Brazil and the world that we are not dead and that we are living history. We are a living book.
This comes as Brazilian health researchers say malaria cases among the Yanomami indigenous people have skyrocketed over the past decade due to a surge in illegal gold mining in the Amazon. The destructive practice contaminates the soil and rivers with mercury, destroys plants, and disrupts the ecosystem, triggering ideal conditions for the spread of mosquito-borne diseases. Despite this, the far-right Brazilian president Jair Bolsonaro continues to encourage mining and protected areas of the Amazon rainforest. Iranian officials say the United States is responsible for a delay in talks with world powers aimed at restoring the landmark 2015 nuclear deal, which was abandoned by ex-President Trump. A foreign ministry spokesman said Monday talks in Vienna are deadlocked over a few outstanding issues, including Washington's designation of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization.
We are at a point where the United States must decide whether it wants to uphold Trump's legacy just as it has done so far, or if it wants to act as a semi-responsible, if not a fully responsible, government and have the agreement happen.
The U.S. State Department said last week only a small number of outstanding issues remain in the talks, which would lift harsh sanctions in exchange for guarantees that Iran will not pursue nuclear weapons. More than 90 refugees drowned in the Mediterranean Sea over the weekend after their overcrowded boat capsized. The refugees had departed from Libya last week as they hoped to reach Europe for safety. Only four people survived. The humanitarian aid group Doctors Without Borders urged for the survivors not to be returned to Libya, where they likely face detention and abuse. Between January and the end of March, some 300 refugees died attempting to cross the Mediterranean, according to the International Organization for Migration. For more on this story, go to democracynow.org. Back in the United States, Immigration and Customs Enforcement has ordered its lawyers to try to close cases that are considered low priority, according to the agency's enforcement guidelines. It's a move that could potentially clear out hundreds of thousands of deportation and asylum cases pending in immigration courts. There's currently a backlog of some 1.7 million cases. This comes as three states, Missouri, Arizona, and Louisiana, have sued the Biden administration over its plan to terminate the contested Title 42 policy in May. Under the Trump-era measure, asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border are quickly expelled without due process or review of their asylum claims. The Senate has advanced the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Three Republicans joined all 50 members of the Senate Democratic Caucus in a procedural vote Monday evening that sets up a final vote on Jackson's confirmation by the end of the week. This comes despite 11 Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee voting earlier on Monday against recommending Jackson's confirmation. Democrat Cory Booker had this response for his Republican colleagues.
How qualified do you have to be double Harvard? How qualified do you have to be clerking at all levels of the federal judiciary? How qualified do you have to be three times confirmed by the Senate in a bipartisan manner?
Romney and Murkowski and Collins have joined with their Democratic colleagues in support of the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson. The Senate Judiciary debate on Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson came on the 54th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. If confirmed, Judge Jackson will become the first Black woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice. The 2022 Izzy Award for Outstanding Achievement in Independent Media will be shared between the nonprofit newsrooms The City in New York, as well as Chicago's Better Government Association and Block Club Chicago. The news outlets won for, quote, exposing corruption that harmed low-income residents of those cities, unquote. Independent journalist Jenny Monet is also being recognized for her weekly newsletter, Indigenously, Decolonizing Your News Feed. And the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists won an Izzy for its Pandora Papers investigation, exposing how the world's richest hide their money and avoid paying taxes. The Izzy Award is named for legendary dissident journalist I.F. Stone. And in Washington, D.C., hundreds of protesters led a march to the Education Department for a National Day of Action Monday, demanding the Biden administration cancel all student debt. This is Braxton Brewington, press secretary at the Debt Collective.
I have tens of thousands of dollars worth of student loan debt. My mother has student loan debt. My father has student loan debt. My brother has student loan debt. My sister has student loan debt. My aunts have student loan debt. This is a systemic problem. Black folks are bearing the burden of student debt. Women are bearing the burden of student debt.
To watch our interview with Braxton Brewington and Astra Taylor, go to democracynow.org. This is Astra Taylor.
We can see that our debts are a source of power. Individually, they overwhelm us, but together, we can wield that power as leverage to push for a better system, to fight for the abolition of unjust debts and the provision of the things that we need to survive, to thrive.
The Debt Collective is demanding President Biden fulfill a campaign promise to cancel student debt before federal student loan payments restart in May. Debt cancellation would give relief to some 45 million borrowers who owe nearly $1.8 trillion in student debt. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, we look at Pakistan's constitutional crisis. Stay with us.
Se bejo
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be mainly sunny with a high of 12 degrees Celsius. Thursday will bring rain and a high of 7 degrees Celsius. Friday will bring a light rain and a high of 7 degrees Celsius. Saturday brings the chance of a shower and a high of 9 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly cloudy with a high of 7 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly sunny with a high of 11 degrees Celsius. Finally, Tuesday, there will be a chance of a shower and a high of 11 degrees Celsius.
Oh, People keep saying that all things will pass. Unless I believe it. Inside my heart, you brought it, boy, you brought it all.
myself. There's no need for someone else. All this hurt I feel inside. There's too much pride, no time to cry. Felt like I lost my home. I hate the time I spent alone. No longer bounded now. Let's fly away. I'll show you how. Lift it up, tore it apart. An empty space inside my heart.
welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really it can be listened to anywhere at all.
The whole point of this podcast is that we're curious and we know you are too. We look at the mysteries of the world, those giant questions that have always lurked in the back of your head. We do our best to debunk them and the time it takes for you to have a shower.
Listeners send in questions they've always wondered the answer to. And yes, we do our best to debunk them. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
why do most black cats have a little white spot?
Why do we fall in love?
Who are better drivers, men or women?
How can we bring the most happiness to the people around us?
And loads more.
I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And this week is no different.
Not even a little bit. This week's question is pretty intense.
It's a bit gross.
I was researching it and it literally ends up being a bit James Bondy. Seriously, like crazy. This question comes all the way from a good friend of mine. His name is Lauren Gannon. And he asks, can humans breed with animals? Today's question comes from Lauren Gannon, who's asked us, fairly interestingly, can humans breed with animals?
I'm going to assume you mean reproduce with animals and not, you know,
bah. Like, are we talking full New Zealand here? Actually, listen, before we kick this off, do you reckon anyone has ever actually shagged a sheep?
Oh, my God. It's so gross to even think about it. I'm so worried about what's going to come out in this episode. But definitely 1,000,000% yes. And other things too, as sick as it is. I remember I saw a documentary in Vice about lads in South America who all shagged donkeys as well. Like as a rite of passage. It was
what?
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah. They do what?
There's actually a Vice documentary. I must show it to you.
All right, listen. We're going to pause the recording and watch this documentary and come right back to you. Well, we're back after having spent the last 20 minutes watching a Vice documentary, as promised, about a group of boys in Colombia who stick it into donkeys.
Oh, Marcus!
Yeah, that's... Wow. So I guess that answers one meaning of the question, can humans breed with animals?
And I'm pretty certain Marcus has been placed on the watch list after Googling teenage boy donkey sex vice.
Oh, Jesus, I never actually thought of that. Okay, is it too late to delete my history? Listen, the CIA, FBI, whoever, if you're listening to this, thank you, first of all. But for a second, it's like it was all for podcast banter purposes. Anyway, right, onwards with this.
Okay, so I think, as I said earlier, what Lauren was really asking is why can't animals reproduce with humans?
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I looked into that because I didn't just want to do an episode all about sheep shagging. And I'm glad I did because it's actually pretty cool.
Am I right in saying that there are a good few interspecies hybrids out there already? Like friends of mine growing up had a mule. That's a cross between a donkey and a horse. And there's your dad actually recently was telling us about hybrids between goats and sheep down in Mayo.
He was actually, yeah. There was a pair of geeps.
Yes, geeps.
Born.
Yeah.
And they're called this and that. And apparently it's miraculous because they're very rarely born, let alone healthy. But actually, so like, that's basically how they... Yeah, there's loads of interspecies hybrids, and that's kind of how they name them. Do you know what a liger is?
I'm guessing a tiger and a lion.
Yep, the lion and a tiger. So it's a cross between a male lion and a female tiger, and they're actually the biggest cat in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, seriously, I looked them up on YouTube, and there's a place in Miami that has a liger in captivity.
Oh, wow.
And it is enormous. Okay, next one. What about a beefalo?
I want to say a cross between buffalo mozzarella and a bee, but I don't think so. A buffalo and a cow, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's buffalo's cow. Buffalo and a cow.
Beefalo. Also, is it someone's job to come up with these wacky sci-fi names for these poor creatures? Like, I remember once I made a mixture between a cookie and a brownie, and honestly, it kept me awake at night whether to call it a brookie or a crownie.
Crowny, definitely.
No, Brookie.
Crowny.
That's a rookie mistake.
It's a Brookie mistake. All right, last one. The mighty Donkra.
Donkra. Okay, right. It's definitely donkey and something else.
Yeah, it's half donkey and half zebra. Well, first of all, Donkra is the best name. So, like, point is, there's tons of interspecies hybrids. Like, it can happen. This can be our starting point.
Yeah, and like, as much as humans love seeing themselves as superior and above all animals, we're not really. And I guess looking at all the existing animals listed above, are there many reasons why we can't reproduce with apes, make a human Z or a hape?
A hape? I was in a hape this morning, I'll tell you that much. Here's the thing, it's been done. Or at least it's been attempted.
What?
Yeah, so there's been attempts at crossbreeding humans and chimps before. Sick. All in the name of science. Although I think, you know what, we have to say this as a public platform. It has to be said that attempting to create a new species, which would no doubt be absolutely riddled with every conceivable genetic illness imaginable, and probably a few that we can't imagine, that would live in considerable pain while it's scientifically examined, is pretty grim and all around like a fairly terrible idea.
Yeah, that's definitely not cool, and definitely the work of an evil scientist. Who would think to do that?
You know what? It's like, this is the thing that, like, this. When I say there have been attempts made to interbreed, I don't mean that, you know, some lad was locked into the zoo and just feeling a bit randy in the ape enclosure. This actually was the work of an evil scientist.
Okay, well, so an evil scientist came about and was...
No, this literally, as much as it sounds like you hear it and you're like, God, that's proper evil scientist stuff. This guy was actually a bit of an evil scientist. So in 1926 in Soviet Russia, there was a Russian biologist called Ilya Ivanov.
Okay.
He was a leading pioneer in the field of artificial insemination. And he set off on a mission to create a half-man, half-ape hybrid.
Jesus Christ. And like, 1926 is not that crazy long ago.
Nope. So apparently he did it as well with financial backing from the Bolshevik government.
What would be the benefit here? Like, were they just trying to create a superhuman kind of thing?
So, I mean, I'll get to that later. But listen, just long story short, he implanted his own sperm into a number of primates, including chimpanzees and orangutans. Thankfully, never resulting in a pregnancy. My God.
That is absolutely gross.
Mm-hmm.
So these are obviously chimpanzees and orangutans in enclosures.
Yeah, so he went off to French Guiana, where the Pasteur Institute had a new primate testing facility. And he conducted his research there in the 1920s.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there are a lot of scientific reasons why, you know, it's difficult to impregnate one with the other, but AI could actually do it.
It could actually do it.
But yeah, it's like, there's actually more.
Okay,
so
go on.
It wasn't just him attempting to impregnate chimpanzees and orangutans. He was also...
Oh God, no.
He attempted to impregnate human volunteers with ape semen. The volunteers were told that they were part of a genetic experiment.
Oh, but again, my God.
Thankfully, this didn't result in any pregnancies. Eventually, all his primate subjects died, probably due to being grossly mistreated.
Jesus Christ.
And then, basically, when he came back to... And the thing is, in 1926, this grabbed every scientific headline in the world because, like, he had started making hybrid animals and this became a massive thing. And
As sick as it is, like, you can understand why there was an interest there. Do you know what I mean?
You can understand why there was an interest there, but, like... Wait until you hear some of the speculative reasons.
Okay.
So I was like, when he came back without any results, there was a massive backlash against him, and he was actually exiled into Kazakhstan.
Okay.
Where he died like a year later, but his legacy kind of lived on a little bit. Like, it's a fairly bonkers story, and the genuine rumor is that he was sent off on the premise of improving Russian bloodstock.
What?
So basically to be like, no, not like bloodlines, not like people.
Okay.
To improve cows and stuff. But
Hang on. So when he was originally sent off, it was nothing to do with crossbreeding between humans and apes. It was actually hybrids for cows and
no,
stuff.
No, that was the official tagline.
Okay.
But there's a very strong rumor that has it that Stalin wanted to create an army of super strong ape warriors.
Holy shit.
Absolutely, yeah. Thankfully, nobody's attempted to crossbreed the two species since. So this episode is kind of ending somewhat open-ended. We're not saying humans and animals, especially like closely related animals like chimps or orangutans, can't interbreed. We're just thankful that they haven't.
But you know, is there anything come out of it of why they can't interbreed? Why did his experiments not work?
Well, they thought that it might have something to do with the number of chromosomes. But then they found humans that actually only have 22 instead of 24 chromosomes and are still fully fertile and normal. And they're like, for example, the genetic difference between a human and a chimpanzee is about the same as a horse and a zebra.
And
horses and zebras can reproduce no problem. It's called zebroids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why? Do we know why?
Probably conditions. Probably, I mean, like, this was the 1920s. There wasn't a huge amount of understanding into fertility.
Yeah.
So, listen, it could happen, but it's probably for the best that it hasn't.
So, like, hypothetically, if, like, I know it's absolutely fucked and, like, it shouldn't happen, but hypothetically, if that experiment was carried out today with modern science, fertility science and reproductive science,
mm-hmm.
could it be successful?
It could be.
Really?
It could be, yeah. Especially with all the technology and biological advancements we have now.
I wonder if, like, that will ever happen.
Maybe. Who knows?
That's so nuts. But obviously humans could interbreed. If hypothetically down the line they were going to interbreed with the species,
yeah,
it would be orangutans or chimpanzees. But they could never reproduce with, like, a horse or something because there's too many different chromosomes.
No, you're not going to get, like, a centaur.
Yeah. No, but, like, but why not? Why not?
Oh, well, in that case, like, you're dealing with two species that are massively different. And literally, when a human sperm goes into a human body and there's an egg ready to be inseminated.
Yeah.
The egg is sending out signals telling the sperm where to go, almost like a magnet to a piece of metal. But if sperm is just dumped into, you know, a horse egg or into a horse, then, like, there's nowhere to go. And then if it's AI, there are so many different basically protein barriers around the egg that you need the correct protein key, which is generally in,
right, okay.
So it's just when two species are vastly apart,
there's no way that the sperm would be attracted to the egg. But if it's
there's
kinda
just no way that they're compatible.
Yeah, okay.
It's just when you have a similar chromosome balance and everything else, it's, yeah, it could happen.
So hypothetically, we're not any scientists here, and thus far, research hasn't been successful, but there's nothing to say that
we could have a big, big monkey man.
Holy fucking shit, that was an absolute roller coaster.
Yeah.
From, like, the Colombian man passionately making love to a donkey, which I'm not even going to try to understand.
You know what, like, we don't recommend that you watch it, but, like,
don't watch it. Absolutely don't. If you're listening to this, do not under any circumstances watch it. I can't get those images out of my eyes now. Do not watch it. But all the way from that to the Russian scientist being the biggest weirdest on the planet. And then Stalin looking to make,
like, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so insane.
Mm-hmm.
But they could breed, hypothetically down the line.
Hypothetically down the line, they could breed.
Because there are other
hybrids. Well, also, like, just before I go into the fun fact, here is a fact. Obviously, humans and chimpanzees have a common ancestor. So when the species split and one was the chimpanzee and one was the humanoid or the Homo erectus, the two branches of that tree, apparently after that split, the humans and the chimpanzees still interbred for about 1.5 million years.
So, and do we know what that hybrid is? Could be anything.
Oh, there's not necessarily a hybrid. It's like just evolution happened in two different directions.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a fucked one because the only real way that you could find out if it's true is by conducting an experiment
which is completely, completely immoral.
Yeah.
And fucked in every way.
You couldn't.
Yeah, right.
Obviously.
Listen, this has been
This has been such
a waffly episode. Like, if you're listening to this on your commute on Monday morning, sitting on public transport, maybe you're in a country where there's, like, monkeys near your bus or anything like that, and you know what? Just don't do it.
Marcus, what do you think is wrong with our listeners? Okay, please tell me we've got some good, nice, light, funny facts to end this
episode. I've got one fact. So basically, you know how we were talking about crazy animal names and cross species fertilization?
Yeah, and crossbreeding between cookies and brownies.
Yeah, crownies. Let us know. Are you team crony?
Or team brookie?
Brookie.
Brookie!
Crony.
No.
No, listen. So basically, when two species interbreed, the name comes from putting the father species first and the mother second, right?
Okay.
So, for example, if it was a chimp father, that comes out as a chuman.
Okay.
But if it's the other way around, it becomes like a humanzee. But then when I was investigating this, there was another official name, which I'm absolutely obsessed with.
Okay, what is it?
Man Pansy.
I am so baffled, disturbed, and everything in between about that episode.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, it's one of those that you kind of want to leave behind you a little bit.
Yeah, well, now we can tick that one off the list.
Yeah, there you go. I hope that's an answer to your question, Lauren. Russian scientists are creepy men, and you probably didn't think this was a rabbit hole that you were going to open. But you know what? You're going to have to just stay away from rabbit holes for now.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. There's a whole bank of other episodes. I think there's 35 plus episodes online on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, answering the most mysterious questions in the world. And if you listen, you will become a more interesting dinner party guest.
Honestly, a more interesting person. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is sexy. You want to be sexy, don't you?
Learn amazing, quirky facts in short, bite-sized chunks.
Just imagine how good the chimpanzee you'll meet will be if you're that sexy.
Oh God, Marcus. If you enjoy In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, can we please, please ask that you share it to one or two friends or family members if you think it's something that they may enjoy? Podcasts grow organically, so it's all word of mouth, and we would really, really appreciate your support in that one.
If you have a question, we'd absolutely love to hear from you. It's pretty easy to get in touch with us. You can get us on Facebook. All you have to do is search for In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Or if you want to get us on Twitter, it's at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to send a mystery question in to us via email, we're intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. There is no question too big, too small, or too silly, so please send it in.
If you want to just say hello or give us some feedback or send us a picture of your dog or family or anything like that and go, this is us enjoying this, then please do. We'd absolutely love that. That'd be sweet.
A few thank yous to close off the episode.
Thank you to Alan and Paddy at the Headstuff Podcast Network. Thank you so much for doing what you do, guys, and hosting us on your wonderful, wonderful network.
Next up, thanks to Flo Robinson for doing our amazing cover art. We love you, Flo.
Thank you to Dave Gertzman, you musical genius man, for creating our theme song.
That goes something alike.
1, 2, 3, 4, bum, chicka bum, ba bum, chicka bum, ba bum, chicka bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum.
Next week's question.
Next week's question comes from Lynette W. Lynette W. asks, what are pins and needles?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
To the melting pot, up on a shelf we lay low, soon forgotten it. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. Well, in my dreams I wrote a letter, the doorstep of my mind, returned to sender. I don't know to forget her. Please, Mr. Postman, won't you be my great pretender? Cause pour our dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we label soon forgotten name. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. My darling. I'll take my time walking this uphill dead end street, cause we melting pot. Up on a shelf we label some forgotten name. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days ago, those days ago, my darling.
Vaccinated against COVID-19 doesn't protect you from this. Or this.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Not this. This.
And it's looking like rain, rain, and more rain for this weekend.
This. Or even this.
Your call is important to us. Please hold.
But being vaccinated does protect you from the virus. Vaccination is still your best form of protection. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Too lucky not to get my wish. And your broken heart, yeah, I can't fix. I'm here for you if you fall. When you love, love, love somebody, just let, let, let them know. If you feel like you're lost, then don't. You don't have to be alone. That said, no, you don't deserve to hurt like that. Don't be afraid, you know I've got your back. I'm here for you if you fall. You don't have to be alone. If you fall, yeah, when you love, love, love somebody, just let, let, let them know I'm here for you if you fall. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone tonight. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone tonight. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be alone tonight.
Être vacciné contre la COVID-19 ne vous protège pas contre ça. Ou contre ça.
Mais qu'est-ce qu'on mange?
Ni ça. Vous protège pas de ça.
De la pluie et encore de la pluie cette fin de semaine.
Ou ça. Ou même de ça.
Ne quittez pas. Votre appel est important pour nous.
Par contre, avec le vaccin, vous êtes protégé contre le virus. La vaccination, encore et toujours la meilleure protection. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
I look for something.
Well, that wraps it up for this week on the Wednesday Morning After. Keep on listening to CKUT.
COVID-19 vaccines have helped protect us. Over time, the antibodies created after vaccination have been found to decrease. While we still have good protection against severe illness, a booster dose produces more antibodies that can help to strengthen our immune response. A booster dose is the best way to help protect yourself against severe illness related to COVID-19. Learn more and book your booster dose at canada.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Government of Canada. In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Three in Montreal. This is Terminal 5.